Hello, everybody. So respective viewers, welcome back to my channel once again. So today I'm going to talk about the pro-Navalny demonstrations, which have broken out all across Russia. So this was taking the Putin regime by surprise. I'm astonished that the pro-Navalny people have managed to organize this and get so many people on the street today. So I suppose it's over 40,000 people. Now, that might seem unimpressive in 140 million, but you've got to bear in mind these severe penalties for peaceful protest in Russia. You're likely to be arrested. It said over 3,000 people have been arrested. You can obviously, you can get a ruinous fine. You can get a few weeks in jail. You have no rights. There are no fair trials. There is no free media. You're blacklisted. You're down as a dissident. There are lots of jobs you can't get. You might be sacked from your job. You might be kicked out of university. If you happen to bring your child with you, your child could be taken away from you, put in an orphanage. So this is a severe problem where there is extreme censorship, where you're branded a traitor for telling the truth, for trying to actually uphold the rights supposedly guaranteed to you under the Russian Constitution. And remember that the Russian Constitution, it confers on people the right to protest. It says that censorship is prohibited. It's explicit about that. And yet, over 20 years, Putin stealthily introduced censorship, and it's now severe censorship. So who is an Alexei Navalny, in case you don't know? So he was head of the Foundation Against Corruption, which is 2 years ago was declared to be a terrorist organization, despite never having physically attacked anyone, simply told the truth about kleptocracy, bribe taking, and so on. So this huge scale defalcation by Putin's criminal regime. So Putin really runs a crime family. So it really is a mafia state, as WikiLeaks said in 2010. So since the late 90s, when Putin was director of the FSB, that's Russia's internal intelligence agency, organized crime has been enmeshed with the intelligence services and indeed big business. I'm not saying that every intelligence officer is in cahoots with organized crime, but quite a few are, nor indeed that every mafioso is in bed with the FSB, though quite a few are, or indeed that every business executive is bent, but some are. Anyway, so it's astonishing that people were brave enough to do so, because the police will stint at nothing to mete out heavy violence to people. They'll drag you away like in the airplane position with your head right down, and your arms up like this as though you're a flying airplane. And I've seen them and run people into the bus so they can't resist, you know. So anyway, we see the sort of state terror being meted out by the Russian government. Obviously, they've murdered thousands of their own civilians in Chechnya in the late 90s into the early noughties. And they're deliberately killing civilians on a huge scale in Ukraine right now. The United Nations have confirmed the death of over 7,000 civilians in Ukraine. I know civilians are always killed in war. It'd be better if they weren't killed at all. It'd be better if we didn't have wars. But even the most humane army is going to kill civilians. But we must strive not to kill civilians to minimize that. You can't get it to zero, but get it close to zero. With the Russian military, it's obviously the way around. So they're trying to maximize civilian casualties by purposefully destroying their heating infrastructure in order to freeze people to death. And Putin has even said on television, yeah, we are targeting their heating infrastructure on purpose. Though he didn't actually add the rider with the objective of freezing civilians to death. But, you know, even he's not so stupid as not to be aware of what's going to happen. Anyway, Navalny, he's in his mid-40s, he's a lawyer, and he bought shares in a few companies. He used to go along to shareholders' meetings and ask awkward questions about why money was disappearing from, you know, semi-public, semi-private companies. There'd been huge-scale defalcation, capital flight, trillions of dollars, and I mean trillions, since 1991, have left Russia, gone abroad to the United Kingdom, to Switzerland, to the Virgin Islands, to elsewhere, to France, to Spain, to Italy, to Greece, to Cyprus, and goodness knows elsewhere. Stolen from the Russian public. And so the ordinary long-suffering Russian people could be much, much better off. A lot of people making only $200 a month. As they say, that wouldn't even feed a cat in Russia. And a lot of money spent on the military, but rather underperforming. So Putin obviously is the thief in chief, the czar of corruption, as they called him. So Putin was quite rattled about 2010 to 2012 when Navalny's organization had major demonstrations. Navalny's was banned from standing for election. He's a so-called extremist, as in he was extremely honest and extremely brave. So if you disagree with me, you can't be a candidate. So you can only be a candidate if you're pro-Putin in the elections. So you can choose a Putinite, a Putinite, or a Putinite, and the Putin calls that democracy. So Navalny, there was an attempt to murder him by the FSB in I think it was late 2020, when he drank some tea before he boarded a plane. He fell very ill. There was an emergency landing. His life was saved by physicians. He was flown to Germany, where the doctors worked on him further. And then Navalny even called up because he realized he'd been shadowing the FSB officers for ages. And they're the real keystone cops of the intelligence world, really flat-footed, leaving their fingerprints on everywhere. It's quite easy, actually, to be an intelligence officer when there is no free media and there is no legal accountability. And he even called up the guy trying to murder him, who told him chapter and verse exactly about the murder plot, recording him, Navalny posing as one of the guy's superiors. So we've got how they did it. The anti-corruption organization was able to expose the identity of many people. Vorossiyne nikogda ne budet parlament slishkom mnogo korrupcia. So in Russia, there will never be parliament because there's too much corruption. Boris Nemtsov, Boris Nemtsov, who was the deputy prime minister in the late 90s and Boris Yeltsin, and he was a genuine liberal, spoke fluent English, quite unusual, a reformer, said we shouldn't be militarists anymore, we should seek cordial relations with our neighbors, we shouldn't try to bully them, and no illegal occupation of Georgia, and no illegal occupation of Moldova, and have much better relationship with Western countries, have rule of law, have real democracy. And you look at Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, tiny countries with unique languages, with no natural advantages, almost no natural resources, and they're richer than Russia, much richer, through good governance. No oil, no gas, almost no metals. And Russia could be wealthier than that. And the average Russian could be so much better off, the world could be so much happier, so much more peaceful. But it's all the Putin regime and his madcap ambitions to oppress people. His bloodthirstiness has caused this problem. So Navalny doesn't like ordinary people being ripped off by the super rich, and himself as a shareholder. Now he's a capitalist, but he's not quite the liberal that some people might want him to be. He sometimes addressed ultra-Russian nationalist rallies, and he's spoken out against people from coming to Russia from the Caucasus mountains. Even from the Russian Caucasus. So Navalny, he's serving a 9-year prison sentence right now. People have said, oh, how come you're so wealthy? Where do you get your money from? Your daughter's studying in the United States. Navalny himself did some sort of brief course at Harvard. So it's been impressive. There have been demonstrations abroad in Seoul, in Belgrade, in London, in Yerevan, and so on. So in about 100 cities, people protested. Over 40,000 in Moscow. That's astonishing. So that will have really rattled the state. And there'll be EU2 protests against people. Now, it's not exactly an anti-war protest, but these pro-Navalny liberals, they generally want the war to end, and Navalny has spoken out against this oppression. And so some people want Navalny to be president, but he's not allowed to stand. And even with minus 50 in Yakutsk, some people were gallantly braved the chill to say that. So in order to prevent the protesters organizing, the mobile phone network was switched off in various places. TikTok was filling over with messages saying, come on, let's do this. So the Russian government told Roskomnadzor, the telecommunications agency, to take down any TikTok information, which was urging children to act illegally. I mean, even you're 17, a peaceful protest, even in Russia. Well, you have to get permission from the police, they will say. A single person protest is. So they're depriving people of their freedom of conscience and their rights. So it's surprising Navalny hasn't been murdered. He's very ill in prison. And then some Russian doctors gallantly signed the document saying to Putin to stop treating him so badly. He's in solitary confinement. So he's extremely brave. And I wouldn't have done that, gone back to Russia if I was Navalny. He may yet be murdered, thinking, well, Putin might think, I've killed tens of thousands of people in Ukraine. Who's going to notice one more person? So that's him. And Navalny has exposed how Putin's got this palace on the Black Sea, paid for by taxpayers' money. He's ripping people off. He's one of the richest people in the world. Probably got hundreds of billions of dollars himself. Then Putin said it was claimed paid for by the FSB. Then all Putin's mates said, oh, actually, I own it. So, I mean, a lot of Russian people realize that Putin is ripping them off. Some think that's okay because different rules for different people. So this is a little bit heartening, but the end of the Putin regime, I don't think it's anywhere near. Sadly, I would love him to be toppled. I would love him to be tried before an international tribunal for crimes against humanity, crimes against peace. and war crimes, and to be awarded reclusio perpetua. I just don't think it's likely. Thank you very much, the person who donated money to me. I can say your name if you wish. You can donate to me, money, I think, 2 days ago, and the amount if you wish. So please, I urgently need donations to sustain the channel. Please follow me on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.